Hello and welcome to this week's issue of the Red Phone Zone. I'm your host, Aaron. Over to my left is slumming it tonight. It's Mr. Ethan Parker of the Gamers Haven podcast.
Greetings.
And over here is, I guess, Taco Bell's very own Shay, Christian.
I don't work at Taco Bell. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, you don't. Quit lying.
Oh, wait. I did work at Taco Bell.
You work at Taco Bell because I saw you when I went to the drive-thru today.
You did?
Yeah, you were stocking hot sauces. Yes. But this is a weekly GeekCast where we talk about all things that are what I like to call the gaggles of geek goodness. We have several rotating topics. This week, we are going to be doing a casting couch, which is when we put ourselves in the casting chair, just like the directors and producers of a big-budget Hollywood motion picture epic. This week, we're going to be tackling the Thundercats. After that, we have a segment we call Characterization, in which we take some sort of pop culture element and we jam it into role-playing game terms. And this week, we're going to be doing what would we do if we had to characterize Harry Potter magic. And then after that, we have Confessions of a Movie Snob. Quite simply put, a movie review segment where we talk about newish releases, and this week we're going to be talking about last Friday's release of Red. But before we do any of that, every week we have a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings, in which we talk about news that's relevant to us geeks. I'm going to open this shit up with a big bit of news I heard last night. As it turns out, Danish actor Jean-Claude Van Damme suffered a heart attack on the set of his latest movie. I am flabbergasted by this news. I had absolutely no idea he was still making movies.
Yes.
Hopefully he's fine.
He is fine. Yeah. He's absolutely fine. It's actually day after his 50th birthday. He is fine. The movie is called Weapon or something.
Weapon, yeah.
Innocuous like that. You know, something sounds like a JCVD
Universal
movie.
Universal Soldier 7 or something.
This time it's really personal.
This time it's more personal than it was previously.
But yeah. As much as I jest, I do hope that he's doing well. Muscles from Brussels and so forth. Mm-hmm. What else we got, guys? There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, he did refuse to be in. He refused to be in Expendables.
Yeah, I know, because he didn't want to be typecast, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, he wanted script approval too.
Oh, Jesus God. Yeah. Well, hey.
And well, they gave his part to Stone Cold Steve Austin. So
that'll work.
And he's all like, "I don't care. I can't read anyway."
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, what we got after that?
Darren Aronofsky.
Confirmed for Wolverine 2 and Wolverine
straight
in Japan.
Straight from the mouth of Hugh Jackman, in fact. Yeah. So
that is an interesting... Well, I mean, that's not news. We've been talking about that for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but well, now it's official.
Yeah,
it's been confirmed.
Yeah,
so
it was more or less official weeks ago. But the thing that I didn't realize about it is that the Wolverine 2 script was being written by Christopher McQuarrie of Usual Suspects fame. That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
Usual Suspects and the guy that directed Pie making a Wolverine movie?
That's an interesting combination.
It is.
You know, I mean, one way or another, I'll see the movie. So,
I'm curious.
I like the first one just fine, so...
They could get pretty cerebral with Wolverine.
And I know it's going to be this is Japanese story, so
which is actually one of my least favorite Wolverine stories. Truth be told, I'm sure you
Mariko.
Like it because you're really into
Asian
culture.
I don't remember it. It's
silly, but hey, it's Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she takes over the crime family,
and
her father dies.
And really, and this is going to sound odd, but I mean, Hugh Jackman is one talented guy.
He is. Anybody that says otherwise, they're just being a jerk. I mean,
if someone just dismisses him, oh, he's just in those comic book movies.
Bullshit.
The man is really talented.
Do you remember when he hosted the Oscars? That was awesome. He's singing and dancing.
Well, he won a Tony Award for The Man from Oz.
I thought it was Fiddler on the Roof.
No, I think he won a Tony for The Man from Oz.
Okay, well,
won one for that. I don't know. But,
hey, I don't follow Tonys at all.
He's an amazing actor. So
why don't you talk about your non-news item? I'm going to look up something and show it to Sean.
My non-news item.
I think you know what I'm talking about. The Disney thing.
Yes, Disney closed a $115 million deal with Paramount to transfer the distribution rights of Iron Man 3 and the Avengers to Disney domestic distribution. So
okay,
I call that non-news because it just makes sense. Disney bought them. It just makes sense that they would be releasing it.
I just find it interesting, you know.
Well, sure. I'm not saying it's not interesting. I'm just not surprised at all.
And they're going to pay them paid on theatrical release dates. So basically a minimum guarantee against the distribution fees. So not huge, but Disney's going to distribute Iron Man 3 and the Avengers. So
this is sort of an interesting statement on, you know, the power moving and stuff like that, as you know, Disney now owns Marvel, and I'm waiting for the Mickey Mouse Spider-Man video game. I'm sure.
I love that picture of Mickey Mouse.
That was pretty cool.
Spider-Man. That was
awesome. I will have to agree.
That was a cool picture. Did you see that yet? Another thing
that's glowy.
Is they released a photo mm-hmm. of the Green Lantern power battery.
And it looks alien.
It looks alien. I mean, it looks very much on par with the what we've seen from the
and
film.
And I bet
so
there
far.
Is nerd rage abounding everywhere of, it doesn't look like it from the comic book.
Exactly.
It's sort of gooey, melty looking.
And
like
to, me
crystal,
looks, to me it looks kind of like sinewy.
Yeah,
some sort of organic. Like a
it looks an awful lot like his costume from the cover of Entertainment Weekly. I mean, just like that muscly look. And I think it looks fine.
Yeah.
Some people complain about the teardrop. You know, you got to make decisions on these things. Sure. I don't care. And I think, you know, if it was just like the chromium normal looking Green Lantern power battery, it would look kind of dull, especially compared to everything else.
That.
So. I have full faith in this project.
I wonder if they built a normal chromium-looking one and then said, no.
I doubt it.
They probably had... Well, they might have made it to that point. I mean, the movie's been in development for a while now. So.
Well, I mean, it's like every movie prop ever. They make several of them.
Highly interested to see the DVD.
What's that?
I'm highly interested to see the DVD of it whenever it does come out. Because it should have a good, cool amount of stuff on it.
So. Oh, yeah.
And I eat up that extra...
Oh, that stuff is great.
And also, something that kind of makes me feel a little bit better about it. Give me a second. Yeah, Green Lantern won the 2010 mm-hmm. Scream Award for most anticipated movie of 2011. It makes me feel like not quite so alone in salivating for this movie. I mean, I'm just really, really looking forward to it.
It has potential to be a really good movie. And honestly, after the movies this summer, next summer can only be better, we hope.
Well, geez, I hope so. I'm going to be so disappointed if this isn't good.
I really liked some of the movies that came out this summer.
I liked some of them a lot. But you know.
I liked three, maybe.
I like Predators. I thought that was very good.
Predators was pretty good.
See, we have different
opinions of
No. Well, yeah, I mean, everybody's got different opinions, but we have different levels of what we mean by like. I mean, yeah, I liked lots of the movies, like movies that I'm going to remember in years come. There's mm-hmm. one or two this summer, like Inception and Toy Story 3 so far.
Inception, but neat.
You're such a dumbass. You heard it here first.
Yes. That's Breaking Geekly Happening.
Breaking
now.
Geekly Happening. Shane is officially a dumbass. See, other than that, The Hobbit has 100% officially been greenlighted.
And Jackson is directing it.
Sir Peter Jackson.
You know, the biggest surprise there. Yeah.
It might have just been a bunch of, you know, bullshit posturing from the studios.
But now it's all just, you know, rumors flying around as to who's going to be in it type of thing. There's a lot of
I don't think Ian McKellen has officially left yet. He was
no.
He was talking at one point about how he was kind of getting tired of all
this
bullshit.
But, I mean, I've heard a lot of names sort of pop up from people they're looking at, like Sylvester McCoy.
James McAvoy.
David Tennant's the newest one, but
for Frodo?
No, just to be in the movie.
David Tennant could be a fun Bard.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean Bard.
I want David Tennant to have all the work possible.
Yeah, what the Hobbit one man show of David Tennant?
That'd be hilarious.
And the last thing I get. Well, I mean, are we gonna talk about anything beyond that? I don't have anything that I really feel the burning desire to talk about.
That's pretty cool.
Reese Ifans that we announced last week. Well, we reported that it had been announced. He is
the villain.
He's going to be a villain. He is officially going to be the Lizard, Kurt Connors, mm-hmm. in the Spider-Man remake, which is cool. I kind of feel bad for the actor Dylan Baker, who played him mm-hmm. in the first three movies.
He's a fantastic character.
Very good actor. I like him. A good actor, but hey, mm-hmm. shit happens. It's a reboot.
I mean, they want to distance themselves from the previous three and start a whole new thing. God knows why, but
well,
it made sense
Spider-Man
to somebody.
Spider-Man 3 is one reason why,
but it made money. Is the problem?
It really did.
Anyway,
I actually don't think I saw that in the theater. I don't remember.
You didn't miss much.
I've seen it. I just don't know if I'd sit in the theater. Last little thing I want to talk about. I don't want to touch on it too much because we're actually going to talk about it in length. And I believe two episodes time is ABC is planning a live-action Incredible Hulk TV show. My main question is why? Because there's already been one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's something that we are going to be talking about at length. I believe it's in two more shows. We're going to be doing a We Make It of the Marvel Media Universe and how we would weave all these different properties together. So that's my two cents on it. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, the only other thing I know was apparently Mark Wahlberg may star in the Crow reboot.
Yeah, but should he?
The thing is,
I don't care about
that yet.
I just don't care about the Crow reboot. I saw that, and we forgot a couple of things. Well, we missed some fallen stars, some dead people.
Yeah.
Barbara Billingsley passed away this Sunday, otherwise known as Jean Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver. The author of the most accidentally sexually innuendic line on television history. You know, Ward, you're a little hard on the beaver last night.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that always made me giggle whenever that happened. You know, it's like I pointed this out to Ethan. It's, you know, yet another person from the cast of Airplane that has died. She was hilarious in Airplane. She was the jive talking translator. And she's all like, oh man, that's funny stuff. She had a good long run. You know, everybody knows her. She was America's mom. So sucks, but shit happens.
The other thing that I saw, now I'm not sure how credible the source is Brandon Routh may still be in the running to be Superman.
Groovy.
Zack Snyder. I'm trying to load up the article, but the source that was cited didn't sound very good.
Was it superherohype.com?
No, this was on Sci-Fi Wire.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm absolutely willing to give him another shot.
I liked him a lot. And apparently it's the article I read said it is due to a fan-based movement online.
And that's got to make him feel good.
We'd like to see him come back.
Because I don't know anybody that really, really, really liked that movie. I know a lot of people are very forgiving of it. I know people that, like, you know, think it was like the latest Holocaust.
Yeah, and the source is coming from, let's see. Snyder basically was quoted as saying about the internet campaign to cast Routh in the new movie that I know, I didn't realize there was such a groundswell. And it's from, I think, News of the World.
Superfans tilt it to Brandon.
British newspaper News of the World. So
good God. News of the World?
Yeah.
That's a fucking rag.
I know.
Jesus.
So,
well, that's too bad.
That's.
I hope it happens. But
so take that with obvious grains of salt there. I wouldn't mind seeing Brandon Routh come back. I didn't really have issues with him.
Me too, but I do not want Lex Luthor back. And I don't want Bosworth back.
No.
I'd be cool with Langella coming back. I'd be all right.
Yeah. I mean, most of the cast was fine with that movie. I mean, the problems that movie were not with the cast. It was with the script.
Yeah, I'll give
and,
you that.
I mean, it was still directed well. I mean, but the script itself was.
I do think that both Kevin Spacey and Kate Bosworth were miscast. Mm-hmm. But.
And did you see the shield helicarrier concept?
No, but I'll look at it some other time.
They released images of the shield helicarrier that they had concepts of for Iron Man 2 that they didn't show, and they said it is going to appear in the Avengers.
How's that work? Is it going to be old? Isn't the Avengers. The Avengers.
Not Captain America.
Excuse me, my bad.
But it's just and it looks like it's from the comics, but, you know, as soon as it loads up, I'll show it to you.
All right. While it's loading up, there is one more.
Flying platform.
There is one more fallen star we can talk about. Tom Bosley, otherwise known as Mr. C from Happy Days, passed away, I believe it was yesterday, at the age of 82 from a short bout with that's pretty cool. I'm sorry. A short bout of some kind of cancer. It's not cool that he died of a short bout of cancer. It's cool. I'm looking at the helicarrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's really conceptual right now, but I can see that fleshing out really well.
Yeah.
Cool. What else we got, guys?
Well, you know the whole thing last week with the Batman and the sword, right?
Yeah.
It's entirely for you.
Awesome.
You get the picture I sent you.
Yeah. Like the one the other day?
Is it Batman and a Doctor Who clock?
That's really cool.
Or police box.
Yeah, it's like, I was thinking Bill and Ted.
It's a fake comic book cover that says Space Time's Finest, and it's got Batman and Robin in the TARDIS. And the Doctor driving off with the Batmobile.
That's awesome.
That's flying.
I want a T-shirt
of that.
And it
says, featuring Batman's favorite mechanic,
the Doctor.
So,
that's pretty funny. That's not news, but that's awesome.
No, but
I'm sorry,
it's
but
funny.
Batman with the sword is
Batman
a little cooler. But
cool.
That should be on our content post when we put this episode up on the website.
I agree. All right, anything else, guys?
Nope, I think that is all she wrote as far as
Geekly Happening. Okay, well, that's it for Geekly Happening. So we're going to be right back with the casting couch. Stay tuned. Welcome back to this week's edition of The Casting Couch. This week we're going to be taking a swipe at the 1985 Rankin and Bass animated series show of Thundercats.
Series?
Cartoon.
It was a series or a cartoon or whatever. I mean, I don't think
animated series really came about until the 90s.
Well, it was a cartoon. It was
with, you know, Batman, the animated series, which was awesome.
Right. Yeah, that was a good one. It was a very good one. This is, we're going to be taking a stab at this. We're going to be casting the main characters. I decided to jettison the idea of casting Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Kat because of my... Well, first off,
I'd already done it.
Well, you know, that's your own fucking fault for not checking your email, dude.
And we haven't done the Thundercats.
And I'm not going to.
I'm
not going to.
I liked Thundercats when I was, you know, 5.
See, but, I didn't. I think I'm just going to jump into this. Ethan, what'd you do for Lion-O?
I threw this thing together in the truck today.
Yeah.
So, while you're out and about.
Yeah.
And The actor I decided to cast is Tim Daly as Lion-O.
Right, the dude that's fucking Superman.
He voices Superman on Superman animated series and Superman Batman Apocalypse and Superman Batman Public Enemies.
Now, are you actually casting this as live action, or are you just going to do another fucking cartoon?
I have no idea. It can go either way. I like Tim Daly, and I think he could do a fine job. So, because Lion-O needs to be that, you know, speaking from the diaphragm type of guy.
The diaphragm.
So, yes. Yeah.
Neat.
Okay.
Hopefully they get a better prop master for the Sword of Omens than, you know, Prince of Persia or something.
Yeah. That's not cool.
I chose Marlon Wayans. From Scary Movie and
Black Lion-O, huh?
Be a menace to South Central while...
He's a good actor. He was also in Darren Aronofsky's...
Juice in the Hood.
Whatchamacallit. What's that movie called?
Requiem for a Dream.
Pretty good for a Dream.
And he was also in...
Dungeons and Dragons.
The greatest piece of...
No, it's not the greatest. Yeah.
He's currently making Dance Flick. I think he has a very...
Dance Flick is out, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's the most recent
actually,
thing.
Actually, he's currently working...
I didn't mind him in G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
He's currently working on the Richard Pryor biopic.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm actually looking forward to that. I like Marlon Wayans. As Lion-O, I mean, fuck, I don't care.
Lion-O is a childish character, because he was
a kid. And
he grew up in the stasis chamber, so he doesn't remember that process. So he goes from being, like, 12 to being, like, 40. Or maybe more like 25 or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Marlon Wayans can be very, really goofy.
He comes across very immature sometimes.
Like a kid, you know. He's all like, whoa, I'm taller.
Neat. I always, like, at some point comment on casting couches and, you know, this was good, this was fun, this was hard, you know, whatever. I have never done a casting couch in, you know, the history of the show that I've done with more scorn and contempt. I don't know why the fuck we're doing this. I'd never liked Thundercats even as a kid. I hate it now as an adult. Is it Shay?
I guess so.
Ethan doesn't like it. And I thought I remember you saying that you've since rewatched it and didn't like it.
I think it'd be a great premise for a movie, though.
See, and I'm sure it's being developed as a movie.
And what I'm going to say...
Transformers took off.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to approach this like I did... I don't remember. Like, I think Death of Superman, not knowing a whole hell of a lot about it. But I'm putting myself in the producer's shoe. Why don't we face it? This is going to be a CGI-heavy movie. And, you know, it's going to have to be all that shit.
We're talking a movie with cat people in
it. Like Avatar?
Yes.
Honestly, you wouldn't have to be that much CG because you could do most of it with some cat suits, sort of like
they
would play Planet of the Apes.
I have a sneaking suspicion it would be CGI. But all this being said, we're talking 1985. What's that? 25 years ago?
25 years.
We're talking a 25-year-old property that nobody cares about. I mean, I'm not saying nobody cares about, but this is not G.I. Joe. It's not He-Man. It's not a huge property. And you're not going to get a fuckload of money to do this. And so what I decided to do was I'm going to pretend like I'm the poor bastard producer that got this dumped on his lap, and they say, you know, you're going to turn this into a success, you're fucking fired. And I'd be pissed off about doing it because I'd be like, how am I going to do this? It's a dumbass concept, and it would seem like Avatar Light
right.
because of the cat people, even though it far, 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 far predates it.
Predates it, yeah.
So what I'm going to say is nobody cares about this, and I'm going to I'll do my homework and I'll watch the show and I'll be like, this is a stupid concept. It's retarded. Only way I can turn this around is this is going to be a fuck. I'm just going to make fun of it. This is going to be a comedy. I cast Will Ferrell as Lion-O.
Okay.
I could totally see him a little bit overweight with the big wild hair with his gut sticking out and him just absolutely chewing up the scenery, and that makes me giggle more than Marlon Wayans or Tim Daly. I just think that would be funny. So see, I'm approaching this as a comedy because I don't see it as being a viable option.
I approach it more as a, you know, they've been doing a Transformers thing to it as to get Michael Bay to direct it and dump, you know, $150 million into the movie and load it up with special effects, explosions, and a very thin plot.
And see, what I'm doing here is I'm going to approach it like, you know, motherfucker, nobody is going to go see this movie because of the movie. Because everybody, you know, likes other stuff better. I'm going to get the star. I'm going to get people to go see it because of the stars. And I'm going to intentionally do crappy makeup, intentionally do crappy props, intentionally do crap. I mean, it would be horrible. That's the approach I'm taking with this.
Because
this movie's a fucking joke, and I'm going to treat it like that. Ethan, who did you cast for Chitara?
I'm entirely unoriginal. I went with Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, Rebecca Romijn.
I know this name.
She was Mystique.
Oh.
She isn't really blue.
I haven't seen her anything else other than Mystique.
Well, she was in X-Men 3 when she was actually Rebecca Romijn.
She was in
The Punisher. X-Men 2. That was in X-Men 2.
But she's just a model, isn't she?
She's an actress.
Well, she's also in there in X-Men 3 as well.
Is she? Okay.
What else has she been in?
Oh, fuck, I don't know, dude.
The Punisher.
She's pretty.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Very beautiful woman.
She's beautiful. She's athletic. She's a bit on the old. I didn't check ages on any of the people I cast because I really didn't care. So
I think Will Ferrell's about 42.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, I mean, I went with Rebecca Romijn. Look her up.
Rebecca Romijn.
Shay.
Sure. I went with Oscar Award winner Halle Berry.
Okay. I don't think she'd do it. She thinks she's too special. As Chitara?
If Catwoman was bad enough, she actually wants to be a Catwoman.
She's done the Catwoman, yeah.
Yeah, it can't be that big of a stretch to play a bad cat lady in a bad cat movie.
That's true.
So, you know, once again, following my train of thought with this is a dumbass comedy, I cast Tina Fey. I can absolutely see that.
She is attractive.
I think she's beautiful. I mean, I think she's hilarious. I think she's very smart.
She is smart and funny.
I love her Sarah Palin impersonations.
Not so much a big Will Ferrell fan of mine, but I would see it for Tina Fey.
I would too. And I, you know, and that's just it. Is I could see, you know, because
let's just take him out, put Steve Carell in there, and be fine.
Whatever, you know, the way I see it is, you know, forgive the way I'm approaching this, but she's going to play this as. The way that I view this is she's going to play it like tits and ass. She's going to play it like she's Rebecca Romijn Stamos, but she's going to be in Tina Fey's body, which is funny to me.
Yes, because I understand. Okay.
She's beautiful, but she's not Rebecca Romijn Stamos. And so, or Rebecca Romijn, rather. She got Rebecca Romijn O'Connell. But yeah, Tina Fey. Who'd you cast for Panthro?
Panthro was my favorite character in the series, just because I thought he had the cool... the sword of Romans is all nice and cool, but he had the whip that turned him invisible and stuff. And
Panthro? You
know, Panthro, yeah.
No, he didn't. He had nunchucks. Tagara had the whip.
Tagara had the whip?
Yeah.
It's been too long. Yeah. But I liked Panthro.
He was the blue guy.
I remember what he looked like. But
he had nunchucks that had little paws on them.
Oh, that's right. That's
I don't remember if they turned him invisible or not.
Yeah. Well, I went ahead and I saw Lion-O as the, you know, I'm the square-jawed. I'm the hero. You know, I'm the outright, the good one. Then the Rebecca Romijn is the eye candy. And then I was like, Panthro is going to be the bad motherfucker.
Sure.
And so I cast Vin Diesel in the role.
Vin Diesel? That's a nice choice.
I could see that. That'd be interesting.
Because Vin Diesel is badass.
Cool. Shay.
I
disagree with you, but okay.
Well, we're making two different movies.
I don't even think Vin Diesel's a badass.
I picked the gentleman who played opposite Vin Diesel in the Chronicles of Riddick, the old priest, Keith David.
Keith David.
Okay. Keith David is a very fine actor, great voice.
Not to sound like a racist jerk off here, but is it Black History Month or something right now, Shay?
He's currently making Song of the Knife.
He's in lots of stuff.
He is in lots and lots of stuff.
I like Keith David.
He does a lot of voice work, and he works in a lot. He's been in it. He's one of those guys.
Wasn't he the
everything.
Voice of Goliath on?
Yes, on Gargoyles. Yeah. He's also the voice of Spawn in the the HBO animated series. And
no, I got no beef with him. I mean, you're obviously making a different movie than either of us.
You're making a complete comedy. I'm making the made for BET special. Actually,
seems like you're making a TV movie. I'm trying to make a big budget. You know,
comedy, and I'm trying to make the summer blockbuster big explosions and cool action. So
I'm thinking have you seen Beastmaster, the television show?
Oh wow!
I might have, but the embolism sort of gave me a stroke, and I have watched those pictures.
No, but
you guys are absolutely right in casting. Casting Panthor, is it Panthro?
Panthro
as an African American.
Panthor was from
gentleman.
He-Man.
Yeah, okay.
The Diesel's not African American. I think he's like.
Well, so he's right because he does have a very African American feel.
Yeah,
but I didn't do that. I completely ignored that. No, I did ignore it because once again I want to play fun with his weight a little bit because he was one of the beefier of the Thundercats, but I want to make him the fat Thundercat. But I also want to make him kind of awesome and. Just really way too full of himself. So I cast John C. Reilly. I think that'd be funny to see him running around in his tiny little underoos with his thingies and swinging around his nunchucks.
The guy who played
he's opposite Will Ferrell in Step Brothers. He was in he's in lots of stuff. He was in He's in that movie Cecil or whatever the hell that is that just came out.
I'll have to look the guy up. He's not ringing any
No, John C. Reilly. He was in Chicago.
The name rings a bell.
Jesus Christ, guys.
But, Seth Rogen, I think, would be...
Well, he's very Seth Rogen-y, but he's a good actor.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
What else is he in? He was in Step Brothers with Will Ferrell.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay. He was the other...
He was in Games in New York.
Yeah. And he's nominated for an Oscar, wasn't he?
Yeah, for
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, okay.
He's
okay. Really I know you're talking about now. Exactly.
I like John C. Reilly.
He'd be fun.
He'd be funny.
He would be funny.
So I guess after that we're going to go to Tigra.
To Tigra?
Yeah.
Tigara.
The tiger dude.
Oh my. Alrighty. Well, that's fascinating as I
didn't do him.
Didn't do Tigra. My bad.
Oh really?
Yeah. So give me a minute.
Okay, what'd you do, Shay?
Martin Lawrence to be the real star, the real star of the show. It'd be the tiger guy, and have because Lionel would be that sort of that guy who's all like, "I'm the prince."
Yeah,
like I can use my sword to see places.
You're kind of casting him as as the straight man.
Well, also there would be a love story here, and it's a question between whether it's the tiger or the panther and the cheetah girl. So I would go with the tiger guy because tigers are sexy, and basically run with that. And the panther guy's old too. So.
Yeah, he is the one with the whip.
He's the guy with the whip with the little balls on the end of the whip. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with Shay, and in that.
Okay, look, there's a picture of Chitara kissing him.
I would put, there was that whole love triangle thing going on in there.
Right.
But
was a kid. He would be more. Yeah. It would be more like he would be hitting on. What's the younger one?
Wiley Kit. Or Cat, whichever one's a girl.
They were the same age when they went into this cryogenics, and then he came out, and now his nanny, basically, is the same age as he is. It's a little bit odd, but they could even probably drop that completely from a movie series.
They very well might.
It was a curiosity of the original premise that he, for some reason, had aged in the cryogenic sleep.
Huh.
If I had to just pull someone out of the air, I would go maybe Matthew McConaughey. Maybe.
Sure, why
sure.
not?
Why not?
It's a
give that man
work.
Why?
I don't know.
That good.
I got nothing.
But, yeah, I like Matthew McConaughey just fine.
I completely missed him on the email and completely forgot about his character. So I merged him with Panthro.
He's the same guy.
My bad.
In a lot of ways, they're very similar.
My apologies, viewers.
Panthro was the guy that drove the Thunder Tank or whatever the hell it was called, and then Tigra was the guy with the
Is Tigra, isn't it?
I don't know. Tigro.
I think it's Tigra. Yeah.
Tigara.
We don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know.
Whatever. If not him, then Nathan Fillion.
Sure.
Why not? I like Nathan more. Fillion. He's awesome.
He's all right. Once again, I decided to cast him kind of as the straight man. He's going to be the one that, like, you know, you have Tina Fey, you know, chewing up the scenery, Will Ferrell chewing up the scenery, John C. Reilly. I want a straight man, but I wanted to cast somebody that plays the straight man who's being very beleaguered by his surroundings, and I don't think there's very many actors out there that do that better than Paul Rudd. So I just cast him as Tigara.
Tigra. Paul Rudd.
He was the lead in that movie that we reviewed.
Role Models.
He was not Sean William C. Scott.
Sean William Scott. No, he was the other dude.
That dude. Yeah. So I guess that brings us down to the Mumra of the Ever Living.
Yes, yes.
What did you do with that one?
I vaguely remember there was Mumra, and then didn't he transform into Mumra the Ever-Living or something
like that?
Yeah,
he was like a mummy dude.
He
wore like a red cloak, and then he turned
into sort of depending on what you look at, he's either was like a more of a frail dude or a big muscular dude.
Yeah, he was either a mummy or like a...
He activated
like the
whole power.
So, and I honestly would... I hate to say it, but I'd lose that.
Would you?
And just have him be just a sinister villain.
I would just have
and
him
I
be
was looking
monster.
At it, going, you know, I think I'd like to see a good villain and a good actor in that role who could pull it off. And I went with Brad Dourif.
I could see that actually. So, I like Brad Dourif. He's not funny, so I didn't pick him.
No, oh, yeah, so. Obviously. He was Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. It's another one of those actors that has been in
everything. Oscar nominated
yeah.
for...
That was creepy, yeah.
One from the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in frickin' Exorcist 3. He was in lots of stuff.
Great actor. And you know,
I like him.
I would stick him in there as the villain, and I think he'd be sinister and mean and nasty.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Shay?
I was thinking that basically... doing the transformation thing, having him seated most of the time, and then having like another actor come in and basically do the fighting parts and have a voiceover when it's the other person. So just like a big bodybuilder for the active one. But
see, I think
also
that's kind of hokey.
Leaving it
as producer of this movie, I would go no.
No. Well, but if we had to pick one or the other, I would say keep him as the guy sitting in the pyramid and the mummy sitting there.
I kind of like that aspect of him better.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You know, I think
he's that way. He's just more. He's scarier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there was the muscular guy figure. That one was badass.
As the big muscular guy, he's more of a direct threat. It's like, oh, he's just going to come over here and
the big
crap at me. But as the other guy, you don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
Because obviously
very
he has
cold,
to do something
calculating,
so, yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's the villain I would cast. So.
Jay.
Maybe an animated statue or something.
Yeah.
a bobblehead.
Well, yeah, a giant. If one of the statues in the front lawn, like, activated or whatever on Third Earth, this, like, strange post-apocalyptic planet... I chose Billy D. Williams.
I like Billy D.
Colt 45.
Motherfucker.
Currently working on This Bitter Earth.
Huh, he's doing movies too?
Oh, yeah, he's doing damned. Stuff.
I'll be damned. Last thing I remember seeing him in was maybe The Ladies' Man. Something like that.
He was in... Did you see Fanboys?
Yeah, actually, you're right. He was in that. Yeah, he was the mayor of that little podunk town. Yeah. Or the ship. No, he's a judge. He was a judge.
That's right.
But, you know, you guys spend a lot of time thinking about the two different forms, and the way I'm looking at that, you know, fuck all that shit. You know, you can get, like, camera angles and CGI and stuff like that, and Mumra is nothing but larger than life. You mean, when it comes down to, you know, ancient spirits of evil transform this decayed claw into Mumra the Ever Living, and that's, like, something that could really be done over the top, so I went with the most over the top actor there ever was, or ever will be, in Jim Carrey. I think it'd be retarded. And this is, like, putting a pin
the
in my...
The thing is, he's got his chops.
Jim Carrey's very talented. Comedy's hard. Comedy's so hard.
Yeah.
And he's a good dramatic actor. But this is... I'm putting
Watch
a pin
the
in
Truman
my,
Show.
Yeah, I'm putting my it's pin... Great. And this, my contempt for the project, it would not happen, so I want to make it a joke. And I think my movie would be funnier than anything that, you know, I mean, I'm not talking shit on either of you guys, because I would not be interested in it. I would be very interested to see, like, you know, kind of like the comedic remake, kind of like all of the Brady Bunch or something like that. You know, just making fun of it. Beverly Hillbillies, something like that. I don't see it as a viable option for a movie at this point.
So, alrighty.
Moving on. That was our casting couch for the Thundercats. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our characterization of the Harry Potter magic. We'll be right back.
Hi, something to believe. Tell me something. Come on and make it real. Paint a picture. Come on and make me feel.
Back with characterization. This week we're going to be taking a stab at shoehorning in Harry Potter magic into role-playing game settings. I do have a first question before we kick all this off. Is there a Harry Potter role-playing game yet?
No.
Okay, that surprises me.
As I understand it, J.K. Rowling won't license it for it.
So. Groovy. That's fine. You know, that's her prerogative. But, you know, that's what...
There's a lot of homebrew ones out there.
I'm sure there are.
You know, like...
To me, when I look at this, and, you know, when you first think about it, you know, your first thought is just grab, you know, Dungeons and Dragons magic or whatever and just stick it into a game. But I don't think it's that simple, you know, because in the Harry Potter world, you're pretty much living with everybody that pretty much is going to be a playable character is a magician. And so how is it that right. you level that out? You know, because, you know, you're going to have your first year magicians and you're going to have your Dumbledores and Voldemorts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where I think it starts to get complicated. And, you know, how do you guys approach that?
I'd use a method like the system out of Mage the Ascension.
Interesting.
Really. Okay. Something that's dynamic enough that you can do multiple types of effects and you know, you can have people who have... are better than others type of thing. But the other route is that's going a complex route. You could try to simplify it as much as possible and go a Savage Worlds route and just basically break everything down to, well, you know, different. It's a lightning bolt, it's a force blast, but it's a blast, it's a bolt.
It does a beam effect. Yeah. Okay, that's what you need to know. It has telekinetics. Right. That's what you need to know.
So,
right.
It transforms one object into
another. But, I mean, you could get incredibly detailed with it.
I'm sure. Yeah,
I'm sure there are people out there that have gone through all the books, gone through the movies, and cataloged all the spells.
Extracted each listed spell and every bit of information.
And the incantation and all that crazy stuff.
See, and the thing about it is, you know, like, one of the areas that, you know, I'm going to run into my ignorance of role-playing games is there are examples of new magics being developed, you know, like in the Harry Potter novels. Is that something that's really handled in Dungeons and Dragons or anything like that? Because, you know, usually it's a spell in the book and then you work your way up to the abilities.
It has always been in the D&D books as far as, yes, you can do this, but it's, I don't think it's ever been adequately...
It's always been a GM...
The GM deals with this. It's never really...
I want a spell that does this.
...been very well balanced.
Okay.
I think that, especially in the case of something like Harry Potter, with something where it's actually so specifically handled, what with the case of just things like, you know, Voldemort figuring out a way to, you know, live forever, or right. figuring out how to fly, shit like that.
Sure.
You know, I would think there would actually need to be a system in place for that, not versus just working it out with the DVD. The DM.
The DVD.
The DM prior to the game or what have
sure.
you.
Sure. And it's a challenge. I mean, especially if you're running a game that's all magic like that. I mean, you still have trolls, you still have your, you know,
but you know, they're still magical creatures.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest part. I would think it would be. This is a strong creature, done. This is a creature mm-hmm. that can fly. Okay, done.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then, you know, it's something that I've never seen really approximated ever in a role-playing game, like the aspects that wands are 100% necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, magic can be done. Well, I mean, like, they don't really ever show very many magicians using magic without their wand, with the few exceptions of like Dumbledore and Voldemort.
Yeah.
Like
Harry does it several times by accident in the first book,
right? And
yeah.
and you know that's common, you know, because that's just, you know, that would be part of the exposition of mm-hmm. the story leading up to when you start playing the game,
right?
You know, it's just stuff like that, and then, you know, specifically in those cases, those are very unfocused magics. You know, it's just
spontaneous.
Like, yeah, he gets pissed off and like happen. Some weird. You know, he's got some magic sonic boom that flies out away from him and makes his aunt really big, or, you know, it makes his, you know, sweater shrink or something like that.
Right, which would be something that you would have, again, sort of up to GM fiat.
And once again, I could see that as not really being that particularly important working out, because that's just a story element.
You could do random table or something like this. But
what about...
I mean, like, and then when I think about stuff like, you know, stuff like number five Privet Drive or number four Privet Drive and the Night Bus and stuff like that that's not visible to Muggles, would that just be some sort of enchantment spell or what have you? You know, that would be pretty standard, or would there be more to it than
yeah.
that?
Yeah. There'd be a question of how it could be brought down.
You see, and I'm always a fan of not, if you don't have to make it a mechanic, don't. Right. And you know,
but see, when
the fewer actual
I agree
written down stuff, the better.
No, I can see why you'd want to do that, because you know you don't want to work too hard on, you know, on something like this when it's just so mm-hmm. when it's so large and expansive. You would have the problem of, you know, you would write the story of, well, you can't find number four Privet Drive because it's hidden, and then you write it off. But then, you know, your players would want to go there. And so you would end up having to work out the mechanic of how to break sure. that in order to get into there.
Sure.
And that's why I think that, you know, like some of these mechanics, you know, bite you in the ass as much as, you know, just make for a fun story.
They're yeah. there to answer the question, what happens in a way that's not just I succeed and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
You know, but at the same time, I would think that, you know, yeah, you can put that whole caveat on there. Well, it's you just can't see it, and then your spell would break it. Right, your PCs would, you know, say, well, I want to get in there, but you can't really approach the whole entire game that way and just be like, well, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Because your players are going to want to, you know, first off, the players do anything in a role playing game, it's fuck up the GM.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just most what times. They do. And you know, in terms of that, you would have to have some sort of like, I don't know, just base mechanic down just for people trying to do that kind of thing.
Mm. One of the things that I thought of...
If nothing else, it might just be like a savings throw, a willpower thing. I don't know.
I would actually make a sort of like, make it a skill check to make a the effects mm-hmm. happen. So basically you have a series of skills
yeah.
similar, more similar to mage than the current, than the basic.
You know, work in sort of, you know, crafting skills or mm-hmm. whatever it is. I mean, sort of an amalgamation of Mage of the Ascension and sort of a D&D skill-based.
But making it a little bit more juvenile in the sense of, instead of having, like, time and, you know, mm-hmm.
Well, not
mind,
even that. I mean,
it's like take the class names, basically. You know,
sure.
you have like potions and
yeah.
astronomy. And basically
yeah.
you have skills in class, in
right.
classes you remember from the book, and then those allow mm-hmm. you to do spells.
Well, I think the way you look at it is just have your different spheres of magic type of thing, and then you you associate it with the relevant skill that you're trying to use it with, and you know, however well you roll is however well you accomplish the task, you know.
Right.
So
could you
but ultimately, you know, I'm a fan of being a minimalist in that sort of thing, and
I think that is a very, you know, minimal way of going about it. So you have dark arts, potions, astronomy, transmutations, and beast control, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be that's five skills, and that pretty much covers, reminds me of maybe a little bit more of the changeling system than mage, and it's sort of like, but without the domains aspect in it,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think they have any. None of that's in the book, and they sort of like a preferential ability to affect.
I think ultimately,
as opposed to a person.
I think ultimately, there's it'd be very difficult to try to shoehorn it into an existing system.
I do too. So that's what I was thinking.
You could sort of cloak
There might be stuff out there that would work well for it, but I'm not familiar with it. So at this point,
you could use a third level lightning bolt and a leveled spell progression, and and just say Wingardium Leviosa instead.
Yeah.
But
right. I think that if we're going to have this discussion, it would be irresponsible of me not to ask the question that I would think would be on a lot of people's mind. How would you handle something like Avada Kedavra? I mean, it's a one-hit kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's unblockable. It's unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking kill them. And it's not something that would be appropriate to make only high-level wizards can do it.
Sure.
Because, you know, you pretty...
That's why I would have it be a skill-based type of thing, you know? I mean, even if it's a... rather than have levels of spells, have just your list of spells.
The DC for Avada Kedavra
and it's
25.
And it's like a spellcraft some sort of a difficulty that you have to hit in order to cast it.
The only thing that I can think of is I don't think that you should put a high difficulty on it at all.
Sure. Well, there is a mechanic. There's a D20 version of a game of the anime Slayers out there,
mm-hmm.
And what it does is it has spells, but it doesn't put levels on them. It mm-hmm. has they have DCs that you have to hit, difficulties,
okay.
And they're pretty high difficulties, but there are things you can do to make it easier to cast spells. It's like you can say the incantation aloud, which gives you a bonus. You can use a different implement, which gives you a bonus. You can make it a ritual, it gives you a bonus. And so it's a more complicated casting.
Yeah.
So it becomes easier. But you are given the option of trying to cast it without a wand and without that, but it's insanely difficult to do it.
Well, right. And, like, you know, it's even been established in the books. Like, I think it was in the fight at the Ministry in the Order of the Phoenix, you know, that they had the shut the fuck up spell. I don't remember what it's called. Muffliato or something like that.
Muffliato.
They had that put on them. And
Muffliato?
Muffliato. They were throwing around the killing curses, but because it was nonverbal, it was just hurting them versus killing them. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a difficult thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is so well established in the books. And I cannot see it, you know, being like a high level spell. I mean,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, you have to have hate and contempt and whatnot in you. But at the same time, I do think that you, a kid, you know, if they're really fucking pissed off and they Havana cadavered somebody and they had all their unbridled rage in them, it would still work. And there's no learning to it. You know, sure. it's just a focusing of a hate and a destruction. Mm-hmm. And my only thought about some sort of combat to that would be some sort of, negative currency or some sort of penalty for using it, you know.
Well, but, like,
and then you're getting into light and dark side, like Star Wars,
like dark side point type of
which
thing,
is silly,
yeah.
but it shouldn't be
some sort of a taint mechanic, some sort of a corruption mechanic.
Yeah,
that you wanna,
but at the same time,
there's no theme of that in the
concept
at all.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like if you use Avada Kedavra, you know, 23 million times, you're suddenly evil. It's well, no, it's,
I disagree that I disagree that there's I disagree because you know
they do
as Voldemort kills more and more and more people, he becomes less and less and less human.
No, that was because he got killed and had to come back.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It is established in the.
I could have swore it was just because of the whole unicorn.
It is because of the.
So, I mean, then...
It's because of him killing so many people.
With
because
that established, yeah, you could totally have it. Okay.
Do you remember the chapter...
They have taint mechanics.
I don't remember if it was in the fifth or the sixth book, sixth or the seventh book, but there was the scenes of young... I think it was in the fifth book, sixth book, in Half-Blood Prince, where he went and met up with Dumbledore years after he had left the school, and he's asking for the Defense Against the Dark Arts job, and he said that you know he didn't physically look different. I mean, he wasn't physically different, but you know, he looked, you know, waxy and, you know, kind of fucked up, like, and it was a definite physical effect.
So it was not just because
Voldemort in a nutshell is a lich.
Yeah,
you know, he's a seven part lich.
Yeah, and with that in mind, you know, I mean, yeah, he could do a corruption.
I think there would need to be at this point, but at the same time, you know, it could I imagine it could be done justly. You know, mm-hmm. Voldemort's out killing puppies and children, Avada Kedavra's ass, and you'd be absolutely justified, and there's no reason to be corrupt about that.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean,
using dark
power, would,
and that's where
it would
really
be.
Comes from.
I think one thing you could do with that is have a sliding scale of like purity and corruption or something like that, and each spell has a specific rating type of thing to it. You know, it's like and it's like if you cast this, it bumps it up, or then it, you know, something else bumps it down. Although that's a bit too rigid for me.
It sounds like we're leaning much more towards a storyteller style system versus the
because all the storyteller stuff always had some sort of mechanic like that.
Yeah, indicative
rage and werewolf, you know, and
humanity
and werewolf.
What was the other
all
one?
All the other.
Kind of like a paradox and mage.
Yeah,
like that.
Paradox is such a fun concept.
I think ultimately to do it, you'd really need a fluid system for it.
I do too.
Really need a fluid system.
And I think that'd be something.
And something wouldn't restrict somebody to. You have to have rose petals and
you need bat guano to cast that fireball.
That would be one of the mechanics that would absolutely have to be, you know, hammered out, figured out before the start of the game.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not something you want to figure it out on the fly. Because, you know, the first
it'd just
fucking
be too chaotic.
It'd be the first thing that somebody would
it'd
do.
Be diceless at that point.
Yeah.
Game.
He'd just be talking.
Yeah.
Just be talking.
So, I mean, at that point,
I mean, that really throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing. I just thought that
sitting down and tinking that kind of thing out is actually somewhat more difficult than, I mean, people do it.
I'm sure that this is probably described in much greater detail online somewhere than anything we're talking about.
More likely in a forum thread than on an actual full-size website.
Right. You know, and something that I don't know how relevant it is to what we're really talking about, but it's something that I always had a question about in the books, is wand making. How do you imagine that physically works?
To me, it sounds like it might be one of the lighter sides of the dark arts, because you're taking a living creature and binding its soul into a piece of wood.
Not really.
Well, you're taking it apart.
Like a feather.
Dark side stuff.
Yeah.
It's certainly a nice thing to do, but I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. Necromancy.
I mean, and you can always,
you can get way overly complex in saying, like, if you put a phoenix feather in the wand, this happens.
And if it was taken.
Different types. I think it'd be cool, sort of like how building a lightsaber type of thing. Like you have these different crystals you can use.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go all crazy, you could have the different components, and then everyone goes through the phase of building their wands, and it's a much more personalized experience type of thing. But
most of them don't. I mean, Dumbledore had a wand that he bought.
No, he didn't. He took it. He had the Elder Wand, he defeated Grindelwald for it. However, you're right. Before that, he did buy a wand, but they go to a wand maker and they find the wand that works best for them.
Right. Okay. So it's like a character, like a player.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah. I mean, there could also always be story elements that you throw in there, to where if you use like the Dragonheart string of a red dragon forcibly taken, it would be more of a wand for like an evil person versus the phoenix tail feather.
Ultimately, I would just fall back on
skill rolls for the most part.
Yeah. I would fall back on my stock response and just don't do it.
Yeah.
I'd do it. I'd give, I totally wouldn't do it.
I'd
come up with 10 wands and give them bonuses to two schools.
See, I wouldn't. I just think that wands would, you know, with the exception of the Elder Wand, I would not. If I were doing this, and once again, I need to put my ignorance of gameplay in here, but I would make it to where you could not make an Elder Wand. That would just be plain and simple. It could not be done.
Yeah, it's an artifact.
It's an artifact. Yeah. But, And I more or less, I'm asking the questions about wands because I have a hard time. You know, I know we're living in a world of, well, we're reading about a world of magic and dragons and house elves and shit like that. I have a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of how the hell they make the wands in the first place. I mean, do they take them and whittle them out or what have you?
Yeah.
Be a magic reader with a knife.
Well, they never really explain it.
Right, and then how do they get the core inside of there? Does the wand, you know, does it twist open? You put it in there? Do they apparate it in there?
I think they probably apparate it in there or something similar.
And if that's the case, what the fuck, why are there only like 6 wand makers in the world? Why is it so difficult? Everybody, you can do.
My guess is probably because it has something akin to necromancy.
No, well, you know, hey, you know,
it's something you have to be very, very cautious and very, very concerted with. And if you get into it, you have to remember, I am making wands. That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know.
Sweet. Is there anything that's important that we're missing here?
The trinkets and knickknacks, like
I don't see as being a problem. That just strikes me as magical artifacts of stuff.
Yeah. It's like, here's this item, it does this. Yeah. And moving on. Dream. Yeah,
you know, I mean,
it's like making a monster.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you want it to
basically, as you were saying with the making of the wands. How is it made? How does one go about making these objects? Yeah. They don't really cover that a lot in the movies. How did the Sorcerer's Stone get made? How did Time Turner get made? How did the
In terms of that, I would just think that you would have to find the most
invisible cloak.
You would have to find the most appropriate magic, and you'd have to, you know, meld it with, you know, the item. And then if there isn't a most appropriate magic, and then we'd have to use that system that we discussed before about developing it and putting it in there. I mean, to me, that seems relatively straightforward. I mean, when it comes down to it, like
the amount of time that's involved is actually so significant, it may take it out of game.
Right. The concept of it is straightforward, as far as I'm concerned. However, but you know, like you said, the Sorcerer's Stone or the Elder Wand or some shit like that. You know, that would be a campaign in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I would think, just in difficulty and whatnot.
What would be interesting is if they had an adventure scenario where you were playing a student that was not in the books, and it was basically the purpose of the dungeon master to prevent those kids from being involved with the Sorcerer's Stone. And what you would do is they don't know what – well, they would know what year because they would know who – whether Harry Potter was there or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's actually an interesting question that in this case is really pertinent. Like when we're doing Galacticus and the Phoenix Force is not as pertinent. But in the Harry Potter series, where would you take your players?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you know, where do you bring? I just basically explain. I would have them. I would aim it at them being students that have.
Yeah. I for one would want to play a game of Hogwarts. I mean, that just to me the big wide world would be more exciting to me. But you know, it's just preference.
Yeah. I wouldn't tell them what Harry would do unless they asked.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
I think there are other things you can do.
Yeah, that's why. See, that's the problem you run into with shit like Star Wars or what have you with the official canon, because it's not. To me, it wouldn't be a whole lot of fun to play. You know, during the reign of. You know, Voldemort, because ultimately you can't impact it.
Because I think directly.
I mean, you can't go in. Well, the way I would run it, I would not allow somebody to go and kill Voldemort or what have you.
Yeah,
I'm not the kind of person who's going to stomp my feet.
No, I wouldn't. I think it's one of those things where
you have an established continuity. I think you should stick.
If you're going to play the game out in the world rather than in Hogwarts or at, you know, wherever else. Why not just play Mage's Descension? Why not just, you know, play Savage Worlds? Because at that point you're just talking fluff.
Playing Mage the Ascension or Mage the Awakening is fairly similar, except for the technocratic elements. Yeah.
Ignore that part. That's all fluff. We're talking, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, the Ascension, like, I would say the 2.0 versus the 3.0 would probably be the easiest set of rules to just apply.
My advice is just not do it.
Yeah, so. Stock answer. Don't do it.
Just don't do it.
All right, anything else important we're missing in this? I don't think so.
I think we've covered most of the bases.
I do, too. So, I mean, if you have any questions, email us, and we can maybe... take another stab at this because, you know, apparently we can actually talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
But that brings an end to our characterization segment. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Confessions of a Movie Snob where we discuss Red. We'll be right back. With Confessions of a Movie Snob. This week we're going to be talking about last Friday's new release of Red, a 2010 action comedy movie starring Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, John Malkovich, all kinds of people. Directed by Robert Schwenke. I don't even know how to say his name. I'm not going to pretend.
Schwenke, something like that. I've seen one of his other movies and it was awful. So, Flight Plan.
Yeah. He did that Jodie Foster movie.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. It was kind of part comedy, kind of part action. So apparently, Shay liked it. Why did you like it, Shay?
It's an action movie. I mean, it reminded me of... The name of it just slipped out of my mind. The... The Whole Nine Yards?
The Whole Nine Yards.
Another Bruce Willis killer.
Didn't remind me of that even remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of did. He was a retired assassin, but there's...
This movie, I thought it was hysterical. It's definitely my type of movie.
Yes, it is.
It's cheesy beyond belief, but it's so much fun to watch. Because, I mean, it doesn't take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. But yet it still presents you with an entertaining story. And God damn it, you see Helen Mirren, the queen,
with a
50 cal machine gun hosing it down on a limo.
That was really cool. Yeah.
I mean, really...
I'd be interested to hear how many squibs they used making that movie.
Yeah, I mean,
blanks.
You could tell, though, watching the movie, that all of the actors were just having a blast doing it.
It looked,
And it's like, yes, you had several Academy Award winners. How many did we figure out? Four Academy Award winners in this movie. And it's like, yes, they've done their deep, thoughtful dramas, but you know what? Sometimes you just want to do a fun movie, and that's what this movie was.
It really did come across that it was... there was a lot of fun. You know, Ethan said there was four Oscar winners. We had, you know, Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman, Ernest Borgnine, and Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, and I thought all of the actors did a fantastic job. I mean, because this isn't, we're not talking, this is a movie that's going to show up on, this isn't Hamlet, this isn't a movie going to show up on as a Best Picture nominee, but damn, it's a, it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
You have Bruce Willis, who I think is 9 times out of 10 always a joy to
watch. Very enjoyable.
You know, yes, he has done some craptastic movies in his day, but who
everybody
hasn't?
Has. And,
I think he's at a point in his career where he can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants.
Yep.
Because he's Bruce Willis. I mean, he's, I thought, now it's, it was, Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah, I thought she And we are back with the outro section. This has been Red Phone Zone issue number 28. We did started everything off with the casting couch of Thundercats. I had a lot of fun with that because, you know, I didn't give a shit about it. Then we did a one of our better
characterizations
we've ever done.
I think so too. We hit the right sort of vein of
at the same time, you know, I think one of the not to put too much over on me, but I think they almost seem to go better when I'm actually knowledgeable about the subject.
The concept. And, like, and I want to see this.
Well, you play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
So that works well.
So it worked fine.
You're playing more of the player's perspective of, like, well, I want to see Adabra Kadabra.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Sure.
At the same time, you know, I'm not looking at Ethan's computer saying, oh, shit, Batman with the sword. Fuck whatever he's talking about. You know, that kind of thing. Then we put a nice little bow on it with our confessions of the 2010 film Red. So that has been this week's show. Will you guys have anything else interesting you want to say?
I'm looking forward to next show.
Me
too. Next show's going to be a lot of fun.
Next show is going to be, it's going to be our Halloween special.
Scary.
Where we're going to be doing a, we make it of a scary movie. What it takes to make a movie that we feel is scary. I got a feeling this is going to be a fertile discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll be capping all that off with our top 6 favorite scary movies.
Yep.
It's a natural progression. And then after that, we're going to be doing a
Watch This.
And this is Ethan's turnaround. He's going to be imploring you to watch Kolchak, The Night Stalker, or some shit like
television
that.
Series.
I borrowed it from him. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Apparently has the
memories,
old man from Christmas.
Childhood memories. Mm-hmm.
Christmas Story.
It's a great series, and I will tell you all about it in the next episode.
Sweet.
The next issue, excuse me.
On the next episode, we're going to be doing all that.
Same back channel.
So that means next week is going to be issue 29.
Yep.
And so
one step closer to the Order of Ruthos.
One step closer to the Order of Ruthos.
Indomitables.
Speaking of which,
at this point, we have 3 votes in my last check. All of them are for the same person.
Vote now.
You know, if you don't want to see...
Redphonezone.com.
Redphonezone.com.
Vote for who you think should be inducted in the
Order of the Zone of Ruthos.
We should put a hypno toad over the vote.
Wow.
When you move your mouse over, it'll go...
That'd be pretty neat. That's probably copyrighted, but it'd be neat.
Well, I will say that if you go to our website and if you enter the Konami code, something might happen.
Yeah, it just might.
Up,
maybe.
Up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. What about the
It's actually just BA, because there's no select, start on your keyboard.
I was playing it with my sister,
so
I had to push select. What about the...
if you go to the website, the Konami code might cause something to happen. I don't know.
What if you go and you enter the Mortal Kombat... What is it? Mortal Kombat 2 blood code for the Sega Genesis. ABACABB. Something might happen there as well.
Maybe. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Me neither. Wow, so nothing else, guys?
No.
I'm Aaron.
Good. I'm Ethan.
I'm Shay.
Let's beat Flag Fly.
Take a little time, like I never have before. It starts out in my mind. And the more.